Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, October 30th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Monday co-host, broadcasting from overseas, live from the UK, Mr. Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, good to have you here, brother. How you doing?
Good to be with you, Richard.
Yes, yes. And, well, I have a good assortment of news headlines to get your take on, as per usual here. And should I remind people, you know, we have these Israeli leaders out there right now saying it's time to turn Gaza into Dresden. This is for one, Israeli politician Moshe Benglin has declared that Israel will soon begin the process of gassing all the remaining Palestinians living in Gaza with the aim of complete and total annihilation of Palestinian civilians living near Israel. But yeah, gas them. He's even saying, you know, it's time to turn Gaza into Dresden, gas the Palestinians now. I mean, it's just crazy. The military said its warplanes had attacked more than 450 targets in the last 24 hours. This has been, what, 3 weeks now? Dozens of terrorist commanders eliminated, they're claiming. You know, most of these reports are showing quite the opposite. I mean, casualties have been mostly women and children. And yet, you know, we have the Israeli government and Biden administration claiming, oh, we can't trust Gazan and or Palestinian Authority sources for death tolls. But you know, over 8,000, the death toll, mostly women and children. So I hope they're pleased with themselves, Paul.
Yeah, it is a genocide operation and, you know, total ethnic cleansing operation. And, you know, it's interesting because they've tried to take the moral high ground by saying, well, we're dropping leaflets telling people to move to the south. But, you know, there's been overhead pictures that show before and after the destruction in the south. So they're herding these people down to the south. So they're like attempting to ethnically cleanse the north and then herd them down to the south and bomb them down there. You know, these sources that were so quick to believe the Ukrainians are now saying, oh, well, we can't believe those evil Hamas and those Palestinian sources, you know. Since yesterday, of course, you've had the rhetoric from Iran have said that they've now crossed the red line, because I think for all intents and purposes, this ground invasion has started. I mean, certainly they've been participating in these kind of limited raids for a little while now, but there has been pictures of, you know, long sort of, tanks, long queues of whatever the word I'm looking for, of tanks and things like that. There was a picture of one of the tanks, so footage of one of the tanks shooting a car. But I think you know, they just indiscriminately, it's just they sort of saw a car and they just opened fire with their tank. But I think they've had to withdraw as well. So it's a little bit difficult to know exactly what's going on. But I've heard different sources saying that, you know, this ground invasion has actually started, and Iran have responded by saying they've crossed the red line. But you know, there is some fire apparently in the border there with Lebanon up in the north. But you're certainly not going to get an accurate view of any Israeli casualties. You know, the propaganda war will always favor, Israel and Western media in the same way that it flattered, despite the evidence, overwhelming evidence to the contrary, including, you know, with this counteroffensive. You know, they're always going to favor and promote this idea that it's only ever success for Ukraine and only ever success for Israel, you know.
For sure. Perhaps a word you might have used was caravan of tanks.
Yeah. I forget the word I'm looking for.
Just, right, right. But I mean, no, it's certainly something that, well, I mean, is exaggerated regarding these other nations' aggression, instigation claims from Israel. I mean, and then, of course, the term Iran-backed. I mean, they throw that in front of everything at the moment, you know, to make it seem more, you know what, because they've already instilled in the public the idea anything Iranian is, you know, completely evil and needs to be eradicated. But, you know, yeah. We had raids of the UN, United Nations food warehouses. Okay, Gazans mm-hmm. have been raiding the United Nations food warehouses. At the same time, I mean, you know, we have some nations, of course, condemning from what, Norway and France, condemning disproportionate Israeli attacks. And really, I mean, there is no Hamas army. I mean, but so, yeah, I mean, 3 weeks under Israel siege with no electric, you know, completely in darkness, communications cut. I mean, now the UN is even warning a total breakdown of civic order, but thousands of Palestinians have broken into several warehouses, raiding wheat, flour, hygiene stores, a lot of necessities of various types, you know. But, you know, yeah, the death toll, okay, over the weekend, the Gaza death toll surpassed 8,000. You know, I just had that update from one of these in front of me here today.
Yeah. There's 3,000 children among them, you know. And I don't think that's saying,
most of these are women and young people, yeah.
Because I don't think that's by accident, because, you know, they know that, you know, children are the future, potentially the future Hamas, you understand. So, you know, let's get rid of these youngsters. And I firmly do believe that the intelligence services of Israel knew that attack was going to take place, and they were hell bent on this time. It wasn't just mowing the grass, but let's get the job done properly this time, you know. And I think from the Israeli point of view that they've been itching for this war with Iran for a long time. So I think that they, in their hubris and their, as Erdogan referred to as their mental illness, I think that they are just trying to completely commit genocide in Palestine now, completely ethnic cleanse the place, and get the U.S. on board to start a war with Iran. I mean, I do think these people are that crazy. This greater Israel plan is a real thing. And if that's the case, I know that's a very simple view. It's not just you've got Netanyahu's own personal ambitions as well and his own interests. But I think that is generally the plan, you know, in simple terms. And so it remains to be seen whether these Arab nations and these Muslim nations have actually this time got any teeth. Because up until now, they have just left the poor Palestinians high and dry. And so you're hearing all this rhetoric and all this aggression and all this, you know, it's quite bizarre and surreal to hear the, you know, you just got one side and the other side, you know, promising to annihilate the other.
I think all of the hype, you know, of aggression from these other nations that we're hearing about, it's intentionally exaggerated to give Israel more justification for just committing a further genocide of the Palestinians. You know, I mean, yeah, I think even, I mean, I've seen some sources saying women and children, another source saying women and young people. I'd say whoever put that young people phrase is even trying to throw in a euphemism. So people will think, oh, it mustn't have been children. I can't imagine Israelis killing children. So surely they just meant young fighting age or something. And the women, no, it must have been accidents. So, you know, but no, yeah, women and children as the majority. I really don't think that this will necessarily right now go into a full-on World War III with everyone, with Russia and China getting on board, with Iran even being that targeted for, you know, a full attack kind of thing. I think they'll use this, though, and down the line, they could try to get that cooked up, and they'll cite this attack from Hamas is Iran-backed. You know, they'll echo it whenever they need to in future. And I think in the long term, that is that is the goal in the long term. But I mean, yeah, I'm not so sure it will escalate into that. This may just cool off into just, you know, more of the same, like we had a handful of years ago. I mean, these accelerations in attacking, taking out more and more of what's left of Palestine. You know, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure it'll really turn into all of that right this second. In the long term, I mean, we see what happened to Gaddafi in Libya, and look how wonderful he transformed everything of the infrastructure. How good he was, truly for the people. You know, not just the populace who was faking it. And look how they treated him. I mean, he died being sodomized with a sword in public. It's just completely inhumane. And so, I mean, they could have plans for an Iranian, a similar regime change to that. You know, I mean, they did it in Libya. I don't see why they wouldn't try it in Iran.
Yeah, I think I'd be a different story in Iran, though. But, you know, I don't think they could pull that off in Iran as much as they might want to. They couldn't even pull that off in Syria because of Russia. And, of course, I don't know why you're aware, but there was a rather bizarre and surreal event at an airport in Dagestan, which is in southern Russia. It's part of the Russian Federation, but it has kind of quite a lot of autonomy. And it's, I think, 80%, maybe more, Muslim territory. So there was a plane arrived in from Israel, and there was a bunch of maniacs, Muslims, running around shouting Allahu Akbar, stormed the airport and caused absolute chaos, and actually even made it onto the where the airplanes land, and started looking for Jews and started checking people's passports and looking for Israelis.
Yeah, and, you're talking about. Yeah, no, I had that in my in my notes here.
The Russians have blamed outside interference for that, as with the goal of the outside interference to divide Russia. So I mean,
yeah, they said right.
That sounds. I don't know. I mean, it. You know, there's so much outrage among the Islamic community generally that, you know, you're having to have people like Erdogan, for example, you know, take advantage of that, and they have to be seen to be, you know, tough on the rhetoric. But back to what you were saying, I don't think this is going to automatically escalate like people assume. Maybe it will, but I don't think Iran, and I don't think Turkey and any of the, and Jordan, or certainly not Egypt, or any of these people really want a war with Israel, because they know it's going to escalate into a world war. And, you know, in no matter who, in quote, wins such a war, you're talking about absolute, you know, financial and domestic chaos.
And that's why I think some point down the line, at the last minute, Russia could sell out Iran. If Israel wants regime change there bad enough, and the Jews are running the U.S. State Department, then, yeah, I don't think Russia and China want a full world war for the sake of Iran. They could sell them out if it really came down to that down the line, you know.
Maybe. I don't think so, though, but I just think that somehow Iran will manage to stay out of it. But, you know, those scenes in Dagestan, I don't know where you've seen it. I mean, that's...
I want to get back to... I mean, I have that. I was going to read some information on it. I kind of wanted to circle back, though, to that topic, because I just wanted to mention a couple other things really quick here. Sure. in the first segment over here in the U.S. But I mean, in general, I mean, Western governments, we're hearing now, are preparing national drafts and forced conscription. So, I mean, at least there's the fear and there's the concern of that. A lot of people have been doing searches to get more info on
Their
likelihood. Well, in general, you know, I mean, Western governments are preparing national drafts and preparing, you know, potential for forced conscription if they need it, basically. We have Spain has, I already mentioned, what Norway, France condemning, but Spain has urged the EU leaders to take immediate action against Israel, severing diplomatic ties and imposing economic sanctions. We've had that. And over here, another interesting thing, I mean, these stats, we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, but, you know, maybe you didn't hear about, they're saying right now, the amount of illegals pouring into the U.S. is equal to the amount of births in the U.S. Yes. And as far as you look at the population of each state in the U.S., of the 50 states, the population can vary greatly from state to state. But here's a fun fact. The Biden illegals are now equal to the population of the 12th largest state. Okay, so basically, I mean, if you took all the illegals and you put them in one, like, you know, 51st or 53rd state, you know, their own state, if you consider everything else we have for our vassals, like Puerto Rico and all this, you know, why not, you know? Yeah, we'll have that's the one way to deal with it, you know? Yeah, have them offshore, we'll consider something else another state of the U.S., you know, and we'll be fine, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, they're saying more than 38 of the other states, it equals, you know, the amount of illegals. There are only 12 states, you know, therefore, with higher populations currently of the official states, you know, of the U.S., not these other territories that are considered U.S. land, as I mentioned. That's just nuts. UAE calls for emergency U.N. Security Council meeting to seek pause to Gaza fighting. I'm just saying good luck with that, you know, but yeah, no, I mean, back to, over in, well, both Germany and Russia, they're a German police. Okay. Cause I mean, they're freaking out. This is hilarious to me, Paul, because I mean, you know, they wanted all this non-white immigration into Germany. You know, it's already been, a vassal state, you know, of Jewish, Western power since the end of World War II. You know, but at this point, I mean, they want so many blacks, so many Africans, you know, in general, on average, but so many blacks into Germany to completely change the demographics permanently. And then this comes along and then suddenly they realize how much anti-Semitism is there. And then freaking out and they're saying they want to deport 50,000 and, you know, for nothing else. I mean, you know, all the crime, all everything that the rapes, the murders. I mean, nothing has let them consider whatsoever, all in the name of white genocide, the clergy plan, you know, keep it going. But no, wait, if it's anti-Semitic, that changes the whole landscape, you know. But we have a German police union saying it would take more than 80 years to deport around 50,000 people from Germany who are compulsory deportable to their home countries. In the same time, millions more would have arrived here. You know, that's assuming that, yeah, things don't change. German police union warns about life-threatening unrest in the country. The police are being challenged like never before in post-war history. I want more of it. I say more. You know, let's have if Germans can't have Germany, give it to the Africans before Jewish power. Why not? You know, that's fitting. That's a fitting end, you know, for these people's plans. Let it be the most anti-Semitic, blackest country in Europe, where a Jew can't set foot in Germany. Yeah, I think that would certainly do justice. Yeah. But, no, but yeah, this Muslim thing sounds insane over there. They're saying the Russian Republic of Dagestan.
Yes.
And yeah, right. Muslim rioters storming the airport and surrounding this rumored flight, is how one source put it, from Israel in southern Russia. Yeah. So a full flight of Israeli Jews ready to land, and, you know, mobs of Muslims is the way they're describing it, waiting in search of Jews. So, yeah. I mean, people are
checking their passports.
Russia and Germany, and it's brilliant, Paul. I mean, it's
checking their passports to see if they're Israelis or Jews. Didn't make it up.
Really good. Really good. Stick around, folks.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar, is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Paul Edward Stevenson, of course, joining me per usual. And a little more on that developing situation in Germany. Right of the strongest, police union warns of unrest. A police union is warning of dramatic developments in Germany in view of demonstrations with anti-Semitic tendencies. The police are working to the limit, around the clock, explains the union boss, and blames politicians. And when he goes on saying, such a development should never happen. Oh, yes, such a development should never happen because such internal unrest would be life-threatening for our country, warned Wendt. At the same time, he accused politicians of leaving the emergency services alone to deal with the problems. The police are being challenged like never before in post-war history. The police are working to the limit around the clock and still have the situation under control. But no one knows for how long. And I just would love to be witness to this in Russia there. Just hordes of Muslims surrounding a plane full of Israelis. And, let's make a habit of that and see how things go.
Yeah, I mean, they don't seem to be bothered too much about anti-Semitism and political correctness in Dagestan. When you're waiting for people coming off a plane to check their passport to find out if they're a Jew or not. Just like, what's next? Is this going to be coming into Heathrow? I have to say, the last time I was in Heathrow Airport, not that long ago, I was flying to Milan. It's since this happened. There's a hell of a lot of Jews around, and a hell of a lot of security, and a hell of a lot of police. So there are a lot of, it seems like there's a lot of people getting out of Israel. By the way, I noticed something which, and I'm glad it confirmed my own instincts. But you got that little weasel over there, that little, he's running for president, his little Indian guy, what's his name?
Ramaswamy.
Yeah. Now, he was on Tucker Carlson very recently with a very measured, mature view that, you know, Israel needs to be careful. It's been too emotional. And is it? It's not really in Israel's interest to go in there gung-ho. And, you know, you can't really defeat Hamas, the tunnels. It's an idea. Is it really in America's interest? You know, sort of really genuine sort of America first stuff. And then I saw him since then, about less than a week later, given one of the most pro-aggressive, pro-Israeli speeches about how Hamas, the terrorists, their heads should be put on sticks and put across the border that they crossed, and that Israel has a divine right. And not only that, but he called for, openly called for, the total ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians, and that the Arab nations can absorb them in the same way, as he used it, as Israel has absorbed the Jews from all around the world into Israel. He failed to mention that, I'm sorry, but there's a hell of a lot of Jews that haven't been absorbed by Israel. But just, I mean, I wonder, as Tucker, will Tucker Carlson respond to that? Because quite frankly, that's an embarrassment to Tucker Carlson, and I hope he pulls that guy on that, because it was a complete 180, to say the least.
You don't say, from a U.S. politician. Imagine my shock. You know, they must have reminded him during this past week in between there that, hey, you know, you did sign that pledge. You know, all politicians are expected to will sign this pledge, committing their loyalty to the state of Israel.
Yeah, if you really want to be president, you little weasel, get with the program. Someone must have given the memo since to remind him. He's going off track.
He must have signed it in the past. Maybe he's, you know, some of these guys perhaps don't realize how extensive and all-inclusive Jewish power is regarding all these agendas, and you don't dare go against them. So, I mean, yeah, maybe he just finally got a wake-up call, you know, to what politics is all about, if he didn't fully know prior.
No, I think it's the temerity of these people. Macron's the same. You know, depending on who the audience is, they say one thing to one people and say another thing to the other. It's like they somehow think that people aren't going to notice, you know?
Well, it's just, I mean, for the state of an ethnic, for the conditions of an ethnic state in Israel, were to, in England, in the U.S., accept Palestinian refugees, you know, for nothing other than getting the bomb, the crap bombed out of them, you know, by these ethnic supremacist Israelis. I mean, you know, so yeah, well, what about our countries, you know? I mean, it's just ridiculous. No, you don't need white countries, fill it with Palestinians, but those Jews, they need a country of their own. I mean, that is just so infuriating to me.
It's infuriating because, yeah, this is what they do. They go out there. And they support Israel because, you know, because Israel are so influential in their political campaigns and donate so much to their campaigns. And then what they do is to score points with the Muslim population and to simultaneously continue their aggressive immigration into the West, they say, oh, we'll take the immigrants. So they support Israel, who are committing genocide and causing the problem. And then they say, but don't worry, we're very compassionate. We love minorities and we love the suffering people of the world, will take them in. So they, you know, more immigration. It's always more immigration.
I don't hear the music, but we should be on the break here. So I'll stick around, folks.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years, and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with Paul Edward Stevenson. And so I have really lost respect for Michael Schneider. What respect I did have for him, I must say. I mean, as a, you know, an economist, doomsday writer, he was pretty good about economic information, still is. But I mean, you know, he wasn't on board with all of these Jewish agendas, being a Jew himself, that I always at least admired that. He didn't seem like he was for the anti-white agenda, for that matter, and spoke out about a lot of the injustices and the two-tiered crime system and everything. I mean, basically, he was also a humanitarian, you know, and I at least did give him credit for that. But now he's shown how biased he is. Far more surprising than Ben Shapiro or Laura Loomer showing their hardcore devotion here to Israel, Israeli government. As with Michael Schneider, it's just even worse because, yeah, I mean, he really seemed like he had a heart. But in this case, believe the official story. You know, these people need to be wiped out. And now he has this puff piece. All eyes are on Hezbollah, Iran, and Turkey. Now that Israel has entered Gaza, all eyes are on Hezbollah, Iran, and Turkey. And, you know, trying to see, oh, well, you know, how aggressive will they be? What have they done up until now? And, you know, you can tell even just by his wording there. I mean, it's just, I mean, yeah, it's just a complete departure.
When the rubber meets the road, he, you know, it's like, I'm a Jew, you know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, maybe a, we could look through it later. I could send it to you, and yeah, maybe later in the week, have a look for yourself there, because yeah, you may have seen some of his articles I've shared with you in the past. And then we're hearing about all of these incidents. I have to be suspicious, as a lot of these are not necessarily going to be grassroots. I mean, all this Muslim anti-Semitic sort of behavior in Europe, all of these, even the shooting incidents have already increased here. Right after Biden created some new agency for anti-gun violence or some ridiculous rhetoric in the name. We had the shooting in Maine, and that has very suspicious qualities to it. And now we have another one that just happened, Laurel, Delaware. Multiple people shot, several suspects at large. You know, it's almost always in a gun-free zone, you know. Yeah. But then they say, oh, well, you know, we have to take guns away from people. That's when really the statistics show the more armed the population, the less crime there is, the more safe people are, the more law-abiding citizens are armed. And of course, there are other reasons for why citizens should be armed, but that's a whole other topic, obviously. Central banks are once again, you know, want bailouts in your country and in Sweden. I'm hearing central banks in crisis. The Fed in Sweden's central bank and the Bank of England seek taxpayer bailouts. You gotta love it whenever they do these bailouts. The banks and people don't understand what's happening. Your money is becoming worth less so that the bankers can continue their scams, printing money out of nothing, becoming wealthy, and employing all of these agendas to destroy your societies with their profits, and propping up the corporations that are for all these, ESG, anti-white, you name it, acronym sort of agendas, Paul.
Well, yeah, it's daylight robbery. And like you said, then they use the money to destroy you or, to start wars or to keep blowing immigration or whatever. I mean,
support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, whatever they do. It's always destructive to the West. It's invariably going to be promoting Jewish interests. And
by the way, I'm sure soon enough, worldwide Black Lives Matter will make a refined statement saying we completely support Israel. We don't know what the hell we were thinking.
Yeah, probably. Exactly. Wouldn't surprise me. Because Israel is spectacularly losing the PR battle with all of this, don't be surprised if you're going to see more of these kind of events in Dagestan to try and correct the narrative. That whole situation at the airport, I don't trust that as being completely organic. Okay, the Russians have come out and said it was Ukrainian interference that basically had stirred this up. Russia's got their own agendas too into how they frame these things. But, something about that whole thing didn't seem right because, this whole, in the UK, the likes of your sort of typical, Nigel Farage types who are moderately right-wing and libertarian, who are, constantly banging on about immigration. They basically, they're an apologetics ministry for Jews. I mean, these people, you think they're about to sort of start crying on air about poor Jews and anti-Semitism being on the rise. And of course, anti-Semitism, where do people get their information about anti-Semitism? Well, from the ADL, mostly, about how they, the recorded incidents of anti-Semitism, it's completely ambiguous in how you interpret these kind of incidents of anti-Semitism. We know that the Jews over the years are quite capable of engineering and creating, incidents of which are apparently anti-Semitic, where they've been caught, painting swastikas on their properties and everything else. So, it's really frustrating that people in the UK that sort of get so upset about poor Jews to the point that, they care more about Jews than they do about their own country. I mean, it's just like, you feel like some of these people, are you a Jew? No. Well, what are you so worried about then? The Jews are more than capable of looking after themselves,
Absolutely. And the economic front, is so rough, but it's where we should be focused in our nations, not sending all this money overseas. And, it's been a planned looting operation, that's been accelerated ever since COVID. You know, the level of money printing, they're addicted to the new highs of the average money printing and spending bills for governments ever since COVID now, for anything and everything, the anti-white agendas, the war agendas, you name it.
Exactly. You know, it's the era of crisis politics. You know, we had COVID, and then you're thinking, when this whole Ukraine war was going on, I'm thinking, okay, you know, they're going to change the subject at some point soon. What is it? We're coming into the winter. Maybe it's going to be another COVID. They're losing the war in Ukraine. It's embarrassing. So they're going to, you know, Ukraine's going to drop off the front pages very soon at some point. And now we're into this whole Israel, Palestine, Hamas situation, you know, so Kelsey Priest.
Yeah, and it's becoming harder than ever by design to own a home here. Meanwhile, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street are buying up whole blocks, keeping them permanent rentals, you know, trying to increase this trend. As they're saying, right now, the income needed to buy a home in the U.S. dollars, $111,000 per year, while median household average income is only about $78,000 per year, total household, that is, you know. Credit card delinquencies of credit cards highest since 91 right now. And, you know, you have to spend, what, 52%, basically 50% more to pay for a mortgage right now than for a rental. Traditionally, it's been you're paying the same or less if you're paying a mortgage, you know, eventually to buy rather than, you know, as an incentive, of course, rather than just renting. But now it's just completely in ridiculous levels. I mean, either that bubble eventually will pop, will have to pop, what you would think it would have to pop in a sane world, or wages would increase. But if they want this to become a third world living standard here and in your country as well, then they're going to keep it that way, you know, force people to become permanent renters for that matter.
That's
so, yeah, it's just crazy because it's never been like that in the past throughout history. So it's just really sick. In Zimbabwe, you remember the $100,000 note and all that. It takes 72 hours a week currently to earn enough to pay for the internet in Zimbabwe. Okay.
Wow.
Are we headed that that low of a bottom drop? I don't know.
Probably.
A couple other things, just quick in the headlines. Biden issues government's first ever artificial intelligence executive order. I mean, come on, the man, he himself is artificial intelligence. They artificially try to get us to believe he has intelligence. So I don't really even need to hear their it's all about regulating for their control. I don't need to even read it. You know, war is a racket. We have one article outlining the 25 biggest defense companies and their investments profiting from not just Ukraine, but now Israel's war, you know. Americans traveling to Europe now forced to take further steps, of course, you know, delaying everything, these new travel requirements. One is an online travel authorization through the European Travel Information and Authorization System. And, you know, we heard just before this thing happened, you know, about a month or two before, suddenly Israelis didn't need passports in the U.S. here. And then this happens. And, oh, you know, just a coincidence, you know, nothing. Don't look at the man behind the curtain, folks. It's nothing of concern. The excess deaths, which has been way more since the shots have been rolled out, the mRNA shots, than it was during COVID. No one's talking about that, of course, you know, total silence around the world, deafening silence over the excess deaths. You don't hear anything about it from the governments in the corporate media. And remember, it was not so long ago, they were quite fixated on the daily death toll for COVID.
Oh, yeah, of course. But
again, nothing to see here, Paul. Don't look behind the curtain there.
There was an MP who did raise it in the British Parliament about a month ago. Who, you know, brought out some stats and sort of, you know, broke it all down. I think there was about four people in the British Parliament, which is very telling. They just were not interested in that, you know what I mean? So, you know, literally an almost empty parliament, you know?
And then back overseas, Allegedly, attacks on U.S. military outposts in Iraq and Syria have continued over the weekend after the Pentagon's airstrikes on Friday. Just like the Biden administration claims they can't trust the information from Palestinians, we can't trust the information from the Pentagon, obviously. So.
Yeah, but, you know, Richard, back to this whole incident about whether this will escalate or not, I mean, it is actually sort of whether it, you know, escalates and explodes properly, I don't know. But apparently the U.S. Patriot system has destroyed a Hezbollah 358 missile, that it's called, that this missile shot down an Israeli drone. And apparently the U.S. Patriot missile, which were also sent to Ukraine, they have shot down this Hezbollah missile. So you are... you are seeing skirmishes between the U.S., and Hezbollah already, you know. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that's going to, you know, explode out of control, but it can do. It's not, it only takes one incident where these people can't lose face and they have to respond, you know.
No, yeah, it is possible. I mean, that I was reading an article from National Vanguard last week. Very good, but lengthy article from their Russian correspondent. And, he thinks that there are some components that are now out of control.
Yes.
For Israel, for Jewish power in this. And then how these Middle Eastern countries ultimately respond or not. I'm sure they really just wanted a big show that is for Israel's sake and have plenty of distraction. At the same time, justification, a pseudo justification to just further ethnically cleanse the lands they've stolen from Palestine, you know, trying to create this false country, Israel, maintain and continue this false country, Israel. There, I hope they all love the way I phrased that. And I see we have a nice option of a caller. Good timing here. Don. Don in Arizona. Hey, always good to hear from you, Don.
Hello. Yeah, you're talking about some of these Jewish people that have talk shows, and all of a sudden they change their tune when something happens to Israel, and all of a sudden they just freak out, right? There's a guy like that in Tucson, Arizona. He has a AM radio talk show, but his name is Garrett Lewis. He used to have a talk show in Waco, Texas. But anyway, now he's been here for a lot of years, I guess, but he tries to, he's anti-mask, he's pretty conservative, he's anti-clot shot. I mean, he's common sense about a lot of the stuff. But he's been repeating all these since this attack October 7th. You know, they act like there's no history before that. The whole thing started October 7th. That was before that, everything was just smooth and great and beautiful. No, the Israelis there have been killing and stealing land from Palestinians since 1948. But anyway, he's been repeating all these propaganda points. It's like he has a direct connection to Mossad, I'm guessing, right? They give him all these outlandish propaganda. You know, the 80 babies that supposedly got killed, 40 of them beheaded. Remember that one?
Yeah. They don't want to let go. How many of these
40 beheaded
sources, how many of these sources for a lot of this information has been unidentifiable? You know, these sources just
there's no sources. The only sources is IDF and CIA.
Well, yeah, if they don't mention an actual name, you know, that it's
I've heard them say an IDF, you know, IDF is they always tell the truth all the time, I guess, is what they're this morning. I heard him a new one. He reached a new low this morning. He said Hamas went into a house and took a baby and put it in the microwave and then raped the mother while the baby was cooking in the microwave. That's a new one.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is all pure lies. It's pure terrorism lies. I don't know for sure if he got it from him. He might have made it up himself. But for some reason, I mean, he's trying to defend his tribe. And what gets me is they in a lot of these people's minds, not just the Jews either, but a lot of these people's minds, Well, if you're anti-clot shot, you also have to be pro-genocide of, you know, Israel's right to genocide. I mean, it does not add up at all.
Julie, let's kill this break, please, if we could. Paul, would you like to respond to Don?
Yeah, I mean, that's very typical Jewish, that type of, extremity of finger pointing and accusations. You know, you had it in Ukraine and Russia as well, you know, where these, constantly accusing others of atrocities that they themselves, and probably they alone, are capable of and often guilty of, constantly projecting. You know, in Ukraine, they had, of course, all these mass graves, of course, that didn't exist. And, you know, that type of baby in the microwave thing is totally typical of them. I mean, you had that sort of narrative of right. In the Holocaust where lampshades were made of, it's so typical. You know, they go so over the top. Like you say, we don't really. Where are the sources? I mean, you could say the same thing on the Palestinian side, but where really is the evidence that even these atrocities took place? You know, I mean, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but
actually, no evidence they shot the civilians. The evidence is that the civilians were shot by Israel IDF, and they got. Well, they tried to kill the Hamas fighters, and they also killed the Jews while they're at it, the settlers.
Well,
the settlers, I don't know. We don't know
Hamas
what happened.
Hamas claimed that there's 50-50. Hamas claims that the IDF bombing of Gaza has killed 50 of the hostages. And,
well,
they're
Israeli citizens. Israeli survivors said the same thing. That's what they said. Yeah, that. The fire came from the IDF, you know. So I mean, they're just the sad part is, you know, I guess the Jews they run everything. They own the United States government, and I don't understand. I mean, how much money do they give these guys? They must give them like $1 million a day or something.
Because of the demographic shifts in Europe. It's going to become untenable for European politicians to continue to take Israeli money because they're in a bind. You know, you've got Keir Starmer over here, who was the leading candidate to be the next prime minister, not because anybody likes him, but because we're sick and tired of the Conservative government. But they particularly appeal and have a strong, in quotes, you know, minority vote. A lot of the Muslims. And, of course, the Muslims are up in arms about this because you have Keir Starmer, because like any UK or American politician, have their mouths and their pockets full of Israeli Zionist money. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. So they're treading a thin line, but eventually they're going to say, listen, you're more of a liability than anything. You know, we're going to have to get our money from somewhere else because you guys are maniacs and most of our voters are Muslims and we can't get, it's okay having money for your campaign, but we need some votes and we can't get votes because Muslims hate you.
Well, listen, Don, I want to try to fit in another caller. I always appreciate your call, sir.
Thanks.
Joe in Florida. Joe.
Hey, Richard. Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, really quick. You know, I noticed yesterday, the day before, Netanyahu had his speech to Israelis, and he said this, you know, he's so depraved. He said, well, you know, the rest of the world knows that since we were the victims of these in this attack, that they could be next and they could be the victims of the axis of evil. I mean, I can't believe how deranged this psychopath is. Right? But it's interesting that he's bringing up that old phrase from the last time the Jews lied America into a fighting war for them, the axis of evil. But I saw a response from I think it was the Iranian president or the supreme leader, whatever they call him. And he says, no, you know, we are the axis of resistance. So, you see, I find it very disturbing that this is a war, it's a genocide by the Israelis against Palestinians. That's the issue. But already, Netanyahu and American media are pushing it on to, oh, well, are you for or against the war against Iran? What does Iran have to do with this? Sure. This is a Holocaust by the Jews against Palestinians. They're trying to blow it into a third world war because they're such cowards.
Yeah, well, even if there's a gap, even if there's a gap in between, like Scorpio suggests, I mean, yeah, they would like to have a challenge to the Iranian regime and use this as fuel down the line. But right now, it also serves as a fine distraction to look at a fear mongering of all these surrounding Middle Eastern nations while they commit these crimes against humanity, against the Palestinians, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's his end goal. You have to understand, Netanyahu's goal, it has nothing to do with Israel or Palestinians. He has been pushing for World War III for 20 years. He wants the war against Iran to be led by Americans. Okay, and so that's what they're pushing.
Absolutely.
They're cowards. They won't fight it themselves. They're very willing to start a Holocaust against Palestinians and sacrifice some Israelis in the interim, because I think he allowed this to happen just so that he can get his plan for World War III. What do you think?
And Paul, you always agree that Jews don't like to fight their own wars.
No, I agree with everything you said. And as I say, you've got outrage among some of the Israelis because they won't do a prisoner swap and get the hostages out of there, you know?
Exactly. There's even a video from, I don't know if you've seen it, but three Israeli women that are held hostage by Hamas just released a video today.
That's right. Yeah, she's going crazy, freaking out, saying just, you know, it's your fault that we're stuck here, you know?
Right, and the Israeli woman is saying, Netanyahu, you caused this war. So I think the hopeful sign is that even Israelis are onto this depraved, satanic psychopath. And maybe we can pray that he will be stopped, because I think if we stop Netanyahu, we bring peace.
Yeah, I agree. He's a complete maniac, that guy. You know, second only maybe to Zelensky, because he's been quite interested in starting World War III.
But Zelensky's a puppet like Biden, and Netanyahu, I don't think he's as much a puppet. He has some influence.
Yeah, but you know what I think? If we can bring about
above him with his agendas. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
If we can bring defeat of Netanyahu, then it would be a wonderful way to end this year, right? A bad year for Jewish war criminals, Zelensky and Netanyahu.
Well said.
We can hope for that.
Well, thank you, Joe. All right, well, great call, Joe. Thank you, sir. And Paul, always
thank
a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure, sir. And folks, do check out if you haven't been checking out all his broadcasts, you definitely should. That's every Saturday morning. Last Man Standing with Paul Edward Stevenson, 10 a.m. Central Saturdays. And folks, please support Republic Broadcasting. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on that donate page. That donate page has all the options. Keep us alive so that we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you